Dear the guy who invented flat tires, you stink.
What happened?
I got a flat tire.
And so you're angry about it?
The end. Hello and welcome to episode 78 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubing in Germany, and with me as always,
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
What's going on, Adam?
I don't know. I'm just in generally a good mood, so I'm really upbeat. I'm ready for probably the greatest episode of the Two Hosers Photo Show of all time.
We should bang out like 6 episodes while you're in a good mood.
Yeah, it'll only last about 20 minutes, so tune out at the 21-minute mark.
Let's motorboat through this one then.
Okay.
Great. New website is back up. Yeah, oh, go ahead. You can ask me. Sorry. I jumped ahead there.
No, I was going to say I tried to go on the website yesterday, and there was a technical difficulties pop-up that came up.
Yeah.
That was awesome, though. It had a different picture, and I was giving you the old hook, the old high-sticking hook.
Oh, yeah, and then I changed it again even because I had more technical. My technical difficulties had their own technical difficulties.
Right. So you needed to change the picture?
Yeah, that was part of it. It doesn't matter. There was a picture that more reflected technical difficulties.
Was it the one where we're whizzing on your dad's garage?
Nope. I was tempted to use that one.
Yeah, we should have used that one.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but the good news is the technical difficulties have been overcome.
Great.
I did some things that you're not supposed to do. P.S. Do not arbitrarily change the name of your root directory.
I don't know what any of that means, so I won't
just
do it.
Don't do it.
Okay.
I did not do it on purpose. However, there we were, and I thought I lost all the work that I had done, and but don't worry. Once again, an advertisement for Tips from the Top Floor. Chris helped me out. Chris knew enough geek stuff.
To save the day.
Oh, yeah. The day, the week, the month. I don't know how long it would have taken me to get back to what I had done.
Right.
Quite a while.
Well, good job, Chris.
Yeah, he did a great job, so he's very proud of himself.
You got a tip from the top floor.
That's a good point. I feel like maybe I should have tipped the top floor.
You should have.
Instead, I stole a bunch of his stuff when he wasn't looking. Yeah.
Right.
The weird part, it's like stuff I don't even need, like a bunch of coffee mugs. I don't know why I do that.
Some hand sanitizer.
Exactly. I don't even use that. And here I have, like, I have enough for the next 3 years, man. So if anyone's looking for some hand sanitizer, I'll put it on Craigslist. All right.
Awesome.
As used by Chris Marquardt. So yeah. I'll go back and get him to sign it. Just the ultimate indignity.
I hope it's peach scented.
I'm more amused about how far we pushed this.
All right. So photography.
So the good news about our new website is that we have comments built into each episode directly.
Okay.
So before, you kind of had to go onto Google Plus or Flickr or whatever and tell us how bad we are. And now you can do it directly on the episode.
Right.
So that's what 1994 looks like. So we're really ahead of the times here.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's it. That's the new website's up. Be sure to check it out, and I'll make sure to not mess it up again.
And you're gonna let me have a way to post pictures, right?
Yeah, that's it. You have the keys to the blog now.
All right.
I might have to show you how to use it.
So at some point in the near future.
I'm hoping in the very near future.
Okay, well, I've got just a stockpile of awesome things to post. So.
Okay, well then before episode 79, Adam will post something on there.
There you go.
Whew. And now I can't concentrate on the rest of the show. I'm excited about this.
Yeah, you should be.
What did you shoot this week? No, let me ask that again. Hey, Adam, what did you shoot this week?
I shot a series of Daddy Day pictures. So Fridays at our house are Daddy Day. I don't work on Fridays, and my wife does, so usually we go on fun adventures. So I took the camera out on a Daddy Day and took pictures of the different adventures that we got into. So just I put a post, or my wife is currently working on putting the post up that I wrote. It'll be up there by the time this airs for sure. Probably have been up for a few days, but yeah, check it out. I don't want to spoil it too much. And then I did a shoot, an unpaid kind of friendly shoot for some friend's kid's birthday party, one that my kids attended. So because my wife did not attend, I decided I'd bring the camera gear and take some pictures for them. And yeah, so I did that. So it was kind of an overcast day and the garden party. So the kids outside doing arts and crafts and playing games, and they had cupcakes outside. And I did a group shot, which is where I was kind of headed with this. I did a group shot of 9 kids all under the age of, I think 7. So that was a challenge, and set it up on a play structure and trying to get 9 under 7s to stand in some sort of an appropriate position and to all look at the camera is a task unto itself.
When I was a kid, I remember looking at the camera. Like when you had a class picture, everybody but one kid. There was always one kid who didn't look at the camera.
Yeah.
But now there's only one kid who does.
Yeah, and it depends. I mean, you have to, like, a lot of them play this kind of shy game, like they don't want to look, and potentially it's attention seeking, and sometimes they're just being goofballs. But you have to, in my opinion, you have to have something, some sort of entertainment value in to get their attention. And so in this case, the mom, a friend of mine, she was, you know, being goofy and dancing around and enough to get them to look and in many cases smile and laugh. So it worked out well. I think I got in one shot, I took about 10 shots just hoping to get one where they were all looking. And I got one where every single kid in the 9 was looking. And I'd say 7 out of the 9 had big smiles. So I was pretty happy with the result.
And you can just Photoshop out the other 2.
Yeah.
Just delete them like in Back to the Future.
Yeah, or I just take the brush tool and I paint a big smiley face on them.
that's a good tip for shooting kids.
There you go. So that was it. How about you?
I did lots of stuff.
All right, how about you narrow it down? Just narrow it down to one thing.
No, that's crazy.
Okay.
Why don't you just go grab coffee while I tell everybody what I shot?
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, I didn't shoot. I guess I shot lots of stuff. Lots of family stuff, of course. My dad was actually here for the last couple weeks.
Okay.
Which I didn't want to advertise on the air. I didn't want to be one of those guys. Like, because, oh, yeah. Because what?
Well, because you didn't want to be one of these Facebook victims. So, you know, your house gets completely looted while everybody recognizes that your dad's in Germany.
That's exactly why. Oh yeah, Wayne's gone, so we're gonna head by and, you know, steal his Picasso. Oh, and you know what? I don't want you breaking the window, so he leaves the key under the mat.
Yeah. That would have been awesome.
That would have been a good story.
It would have been a test of our listenership to see, you know, if it would almost be like a badge of honor if someone robbed him.
Okay, well, I'm gonna try that next time.
Okay.
I'm gonna give out most of his address.
Yeah.
P.S. It's 21 Jump Street or something kitschic like that. You're right. I did not want to be that guy. So, but it's different when I travel because, like, you know, I obviously say that, hey, I'm in Vancouver now.
Right.
But when I travel, I take everything valuable that anybody could steal goes with me.
Right.
Like my camera, my laptop, my kid.
Right.
In that order.
Yeah.
So I'm not too worried about that, but anyways, that's that. So my dad, some point is my dad was here. He came to see Emily, and so we took a lot of pictures based around that and try to always keep my camera with me to get a lot of snapshots.
Right.
So we were at the playground or at the pool, but it was important to me that I get sort of candid looking, unposed snapshots, but she's almost a year now, so she's kind of doesn't just sit there in a lump and smile like she used to.
What does she do?
She moves around.
Wow.
And, you know, and she's almost a year, so she's walking and running, and I get a lot of pictures of her doing math in Latin. no, she moves around a little bit, but so it's starting to become a challenge. But anyway, so it shot a lot of that.
Yeah.
Had a couple overcast days at the pool and the playground, so that, again, that made it very, very much, much easier to shoot.
Right.
Because you're not worried about in the sun, out of the sun, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I shot some business portrait sessions, like pro like hired, to shoot. It's a man and a woman. You've heard of that.
Yes.
And they're starting a new business together, a consulting business. And so I had to shoot pictures of the two of them and then singles and just all around this like a little creek near our house.
Yeah, and they're going to use that for like a website or?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the challenge is to pose a man and a woman and make sure it doesn't look like their husband and wife.
Okay.
So I found that actually a couple times where I was like, okay, this will look really good. And then I thought, no, that's like a wedding picture.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess that didn't need to have a picture of them cutting the cake. That was odd.
Or so. yeah, feeding each other.
That was great. Okay, here's your new consulting business. Yeah, it's really just awkward. So yeah.
The lingerie was unnecessary too.
But he looked good in it. He'd been working out.
Right.
The good news is, though, is that like for the first time in the history of photography, a paying client, agreed to get their pictures taken early in the morning.
Okay.
So I'm not crazy early, but early enough that I was like, wow, great. So we started at 9, which on a Sunday as well. But normally everybody wants their picture taken right at noon. And then you end up having to struggle and that. And so, but we didn't do that. We shot early in the morning because they wanted a shot in, like standing in the creek, actually.
Okay.
And so that we shot that first, got that out of the way, and then did all the close-ups. By that time, the sun had moved up in the sky a little bit, and I got to move around and use the shadows of the buildings that are like, because there's buildings built on the creek.
Okay.
And so they, you know, like it's an old Europe kind of looking thing, and so I got to move around all the shadows created by the rising sun. So by that point, it was easy to shoot.
Okay. And so what are you looking for when you're trying to take a shot, and like how are you going to use those shadows for this kind of shot?
Oh, well, see, this is where it worked out great, because the way the sun would kind of come up between buildings, because we're talking like 3 or 4 story buildings,
right?
Old stone buildings, and so what would often happen is the sun would either poke just over the top, but still leave a lot of the building in shadow.
Yeah.
So if I position the subject just right, we would get an excellent backlight from the sun.
Yeah.
Yet the background would still be in shadow. Their face would be in shadow. And then I would use a flash to fill in the blanks.
Right. Okay.
And so it was basically, it saved me from having to get 3 speed lights out of the bag. I only had to use 1 the entire shoot. So right. I could use the sun as a... As a backlight. Yeah.
Great.
So that's the tip. So that, and I shot a few rolls of film, but I don't want to talk about it now because we've gone so long on this already.
Okay. Don't talk about it because I don't really care anyways. This is a digital SLR show, so keep the film to yourself.
Done.
Okay.
So any advice on shooting a 1-year-old's birthday?
I think that you probably, because it's her first birthday, probably focus on maybe a couple of cake shots and maybe a few pictures of who's there and then put the camera away.
Good thinking.
Yeah. It's kind of one of those things that with the first birthday that really the picture that you're going to look back at is probably, you know, them shoveling cake in their face, and that's probably it.
Okay, good tip.
So I would spend more time enjoying it. This is one of those enjoy the moment situations, and don't kill yourself with a million photos that you're probably not going to do anything with at the end of the day. But what we did here, and here's a piece of advice, something we did and Sarah still has in her room from her first birthday, is we got a frame and had everybody at the first birthday who was there sign the matting on the frame. And then that mm-hmm. picture, whatever picture you decide to use of her stuffing her face with the cake, then put that in the frame. And then she's got it as a keepsake with everyone who signed it, you know, for her first birthday. So Sarah has hers in her room, and I think it's a great keepsake, something worth doing for a first birthday.
And does she like that?
She looks at it every now and again and says, who was at the party? And we read, you know, the things that they said. So, no, she loves it.
All right. That's a good tip right there.
There you go.
I'll look into that.
We're just tip heavy this episode. We got to spread some of these out.
I know. That's what I was thinking. So I'm going to cut some of them out and just put dead air in there.
Perfect.
That'll get us some listeners.
Yeah.
Okay. So photo challenge this week.
Shadows. And you made the challenge this week, so.
I did. I was looking for shadows.
Yeah.
But you rose to it, man.
Yeah, I was pretty happy with what I did. I don't know, should I go first or should you go first?
Well, you're pretty happy. Let's build on that happiness.
Build on the happiness.
The happiness and love.
Yeah, so what I did, and this.
Let's not ignore that segue I just rolled into your picture.
Well, no, I think I don't know if it was a segue. You pretty much said exactly what it was.
Right.
Happiness and love. Is that a segue when you just kind of scream it out?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't go to segue school.
Obviously not. So let me just, you know, have the chance to describe my picture without you interrupting for a minute. Can you do that?
Yes.
Okay. So I decided that I was going to do something indoors. At first I thought, oh, maybe I'll do something outdoors. But then it's just kind of looking around the house just kind of came to me. I had an idea that we have some of those wooden letters that, you know, someone gave to us as a wedding present. So we had the letters L-O-V-E in white wood. And then another wedding present, a little carved sculpture that my parents gave to us when our first daughter was born, or our only daughter, but when our first child was born, of a mother holding a baby. And so I thought, hey, I'm going to put these two things together, and they're pretty small. So I'm going to see if I can create the shadows from these. And I think those two things go nicely together. So I basically put them on the dining room table, and I did include a setup shot. So hopefully, just to make this easier to understand, you'll post the setup shot and see how easy this was. But basically, I've got the white background paper, just a piece cut and put on the table, and then I've got almost no light in the room, so the room is just dark, and I'm shooting on an ISO of 100 and I think an f8, and because I wanted, the only thing I really wanted to show up was the light from the flash that I mounted on the chair in behind the statue and the letters, and then I just basically flagged the flash so that I could really control the beam of light and aimed it down on the letters and the sculpture until I got the right angle and amount of shadow. It took about 5 pictures and was pretty much dialed into where I wanted it. And this is where I'm most proud of this is when I got the picture off the camera. This is no Photoshop, no touch-ups, Zippo, straight out of camera. And very seldom do I get exactly what I was after out of camera. So I actually think that I visualized this and it was better than I actually envisioned. So I was pretty pleased with myself when I got the result. So that's it.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
Yeah, no, you were listening. You were definitely listening.
I was listening. Yeah, no, it looks great. So. And it's impressive that it only took you 5 pictures too, because a lot of stuff works here. Besides the shadows, we'll get to the shadows quickly because they're kind of obvious.
Yes.
But the rim lighting around the words, the way the white background that you use basically acts as a bounce and fills in, like, is it because the love and the sculpture aren't 100% in shadow? Like, we have detail there,
right? Yeah,
and that looks really good. And that's from the light bouncing back off the white.
That's what I assume. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I think the most impressive part, because this, I think you probably, like, you know, a month ago you probably could have nailed almost this picture, but it's the fact that you took the time to flag off your flash. Now, how did you do that?
Just with a black piece of foam, I've got a couple of little Velcro stickies on a dollar store piece of black foam, and I just sized it to my flash, and I just carried around in my bag everywhere. So I've got a couple of them different lengths. So I used a longer piece, and again, could exactly what I said, control exactly how much light hit that paper.
Right. Now, it also basically it sort of funnels all the light in the one area.
Yeah.
And basically eliminates what we call spill, which is why you have that sort of spotlight effect.
Exactly.
Which looks great. And it has shadows, which was the challenge.
Exactly. So at first I just envisioned doing the love and just getting the shadow of the love. But then I thought, hey, I've got this sculpture and it fits nicely. Why don't I try to do both of these together? And I thought the shadow from the love would have been just a very simple picture, really easy. And I thought, okay, to add in the sculpture added an extra challenge, because then I had to make that shadow fit into the circle of light I wanted to use. And I thought that now I'm getting a little more tricky with getting the rim lighting right. And again, it just worked out. It didn't take me many tries. I was happy almost right away.
Looks great.
Yeah. So a little bit of practice and a little bit of luck all rolled into one.
Do you want me to be critical of anything?
Just go ahead. Yeah.
I can't think of anything. So I got to have to sit down and sort of brainstorm.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so there you go. So you're good. that's good.
But what I wanted to sort of say is that, you know, and the reason I put the setup shot in there is this is extremely easy. As much as, you know, there's a bunch of little technical things that have to go on, the setup is so easy. And that's why I wanted to put the setup picture in there to see, like, I got the GorillaPod on a chair aimed down with the flag on the flash. And the rest of it is just getting your settings right and getting the distance right from the flash and whatnot. But it couldn't be an easier setup. So I encourage anybody who, you know, hasn't spent a lot of time with off-camera flash, but maybe is just getting started to if they've got anything like this, to try this. I mean, just any piece of white paper and a piece of black foam or on your flash, and then just to try targeting it. So I'm sitting on the opposite side of the table to where the flash is, like you'll see in the setup picture. I'm not actually sitting there, but you can see where I would be sitting. And then I'm basically just shooting back. Now, in the setup picture, the other thing is there's a lot of light. The light is turned on in the room just to sort of so I could expose it. But the lights are all off. So I'm basically sitting in a dark room, and then it's just a matter of getting your focus, because, you know, depending on the camera you have, it's not always easy to get the focus right when you're pretty much shooting in darkness. And obviously you're not going to get the light to show up until you actually click the shutter. So that's probably the most difficult task, is just making sure you get the sharp focus when you're trying to get your camera to focus in the dark. So you might have to manually focus. In this case, I didn't. There was a little bit of light and I did get it to focus pretty quickly. So
ironically, when we get to my picture, I have a focusing tip based exactly on that scenario.
Well, there you go. Well, let's move on. The good segue. You did go to Segway school.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right. And the thing about Segway school, no, that's where it ends. one last question about yours. What lens did you shoot this with?
That was the 30mm prime lens that I have, the Sigma. So
really?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm a little surprised, because doesn't look like there's any lens flare at all.
No, and again, it does have the whatchamacallit, the lens hood on there, and also the angles. The way I wanted to angle it is the flash is up higher and shooting down, and I'm shooting on a level plane. So I guess I don't know how much lens flare you would get off of the bounce off the paper, but I'm not shooting directly into the flash. So it is. I was low enough down to avoid any of that. I think that's what my intention was, and I didn't see any in any of the pictures, so.
No, it looks good to me.
There you go.
All right, now let's segue it.
Okay.
Okay, here's mine. Are you looking at, I'm sure you're looking at mine now.
I'm looking at yours.
Okay, I want to make sure it's the right one. Is the wider shot with the headlights in the background?
Yes.
Okay. This is my shot. This is my dad, first of all.
Harrison Ford, once again, makes his return.
That's right, he brought the hat.
I
decided it wasn't supposed to be Harrison Ford-ish, but that's a good point. I never thought of it that way.
Maybe this is Sherlock Holmes.
I wanted to go something like that, some sort of a 70s kind of East Berlin sort of look to it. That's what I had in mind immediately
There you go.
Once the challenge was issued in my own head.
Yeah.
That's I knew this is kind of what this is what I wanted to shoot.
Okay.
So the background on the left hand side, you see the big flood of light.
Yeah.
First of all, I knew I wanted black and white, and I knew I wanted a flood of light to create lots of brights and leave lots of shadows. So that is one of my speed lights on a stand, zoomed all the way into 85 mil.
Yeah.
Which is how far the SB28 can go.
Right.
Quarter power and just triggered wirelessly, obviously, and fired right into his back.
And just, you know, just a question, and just for clarification, when you're talking about the flash zoomed in to 85 millimeters, that's making a narrower, tighter beam.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
So that what that does, yeah, it's going to be a little, in short, one of the major benefits is that it gives you more power to your flash. It concentrates everything in one area.
Right.
So there's that. And so that's how I lit that. And I also have a second flash on very, very low just to add a flick of light to his face.
Right, which we see on the right side of his face.
Yep. So it's just off the camera left. It's probably on 1/64th power, which is as low as that will go.
Right.
And I used a, what's the thing called that we have, the little softbox that we both have for our flash?
Yeah, just a portable, I don't know, an on flash softbox. I don't know what else you call it.
Yeah, something like that. It was about $25-$30 or something like that.
Yeah, just a mini one that goes right over the head of the flash that you can use while it's actually on the camera.
I'll bet you it's called a mini softbox.
Mini softbox sounds good.
Yeah, well, you don't have to use it only on the camera. It can be used off the camera as well. It's very handy.
Right, it fits on. Like, it doesn't get... Yeah. There's no obstruction to using it while it's still on the camera.
Exactly. So that's what I used just to add that. So there you go.
There you go. Well, I like it. I'm especially drawn to the rim light around the hat, around his left shoulder and around his neck. I mean, I just love the rim light in that picture. So
thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it turned out good. The only thing I'd like to see is, in a perfect world, I'd like to see the rim light over the top of his hat. Kind of loses it a little bit there. I don't know how you would do that differently, because he's got a roof there too, right? Like just over his head.
It's very, very high.
Yeah.
So no excuses. I probably could have done that.
Okay. Well, you should go back and then do that. No, but I really like the picture. So
this one on purpose, I flooded the area with my flash, but I also wanted to include a couple of those street lights
right
in the shot just to sort of add some depth.
Yeah.
I waited. I had him sit there and pose and wait for a car to come by. So we had some headlights kind of breaking up that right side of the picture.
Yeah.
And you know, a couple of the main shadows are created by the beams, the metal beams. And also my dad was nice enough to wear my pea coat in June.
Right,
it wasn't cold.
Yeah, but it definitely helps the picture for sure, especially around the collar.
Right. And the other thing was I had him wear some glasses. These are my old glasses that I actually never ever wear, but I keep them as for a prop. And I wanted to do is just to have a little flick of light just hit the glasses to sort of obscure his eyes, but just to pull them out.
Yeah.
Turns out they're anti-glare glass.
Well, it's funny that you said that. I just zoomed the picture way in because I didn't even realize he was wearing glasses until you said that.
There you go. That was part of it. That was part of the aesthetic. But anti-glare glass is very difficult to get a reflection off of.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of the point.
And my eyesight isn't good enough to pick that up until you said that.
There you go. Yeah. So there's that. And now the one focus tip.
Okay.
This was in the dark. I waited till about 11 at night till the sun was gone completely so I could control everything light-wise.
Right.
Now, that means focusing in the absolute dark. Now, if your flash, if you have like a 580 or the 430 flash or the Nikon ones, it will have... I don't know how the Nikon ones, so I won't shoot my mouth off. I don't know how those ones work. But then the Canon ones shoot basically an infrared beam and help you focus.
Right.
Well, if you don't have that, if you don't have that on camera, which I don't, you're out of luck. So what I did was I had my dad take my iPod with the brightness turned all the way up and a picture on it. And before every shot, I would get him to hold the iPod right next to his eye. So it's very, very bright.
Yeah.
I could and my camera would lock focus on that very, very easily. Because your camera's looking for contrast.
Exactly.
When it wants to focus. And if it's just in the dark, you got nothing. You're out of luck. So by using the iPod method and just focusing on that screen, having him put it back in his pocket, we get laser focus every time.
So the tip there is buy more Apple products.
It could be anything. It could be any cell phone. It could be anything with, I mean, you could use a flashlight. You could actually have your subject hold a flashlight up to their face.
Right.
And then put that in their pocket. That's what I would have done, but the iPod is just an easy way to go. But yeah, anything that's going to give off light should be able to make you get good focus.
Okay. No, that's a good tip for sure.
There we go. Okay. This week's topic. Do we still have time?
No.
Okay. Well, this week's topic would have been all the free money Adam's going to give out.
At Wayne's house. Just show up at Wayne's house. Alan will have the address for you and ask for the free handout.
That's right. Leave his Picasso alone.
That's always a fun thing to do. Saturday morning at about 6 a.m.
You know what? That seems like a fun thing to put in Craigslist. For just random people. Like if you want to get back at one of your friends.
Yes.
I'm going to do that. Just start advertising garage sales at their house. 6 a.m., no early birds.
Yeah.
I'm actually doing it right. Sorry, I'm distracted. I'm actually typing one up right now for your house.
Perfect. Yeah. You don't know my address.
No, of course I don't. So this week's topic is shadows. Wow, that tied in nicely.
Segue.
Oh, my goodness. This week's topic, segueing.
How to build a better segue.
That's boom. We often think of photography. When we think of photography and going out and taking pictures, we think in terms of light. Like, what kind of light is it? Is it soft light? Is it hard light? You know, what kind of light are we going to get on the face? But the byproduct of that, and what we don't think about, is we tend to forget about dark.
Right.
What are the dark parts? Like, should it all balance? You know, how much dark should be versus light? That kind of thing. So it's important sometimes to think in terms of shadow.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't do this. So this is news to me.
Great. So when you're lighting people, that was a bad segue, by the way.
Okay. Sorry.
No, for me, on my part, I think I was looking out the window.
Okay.
When we like to shoot people, we talk about it a lot. We like to, you know, shoot people in soft light. We put umbrellas on the flash, or we shoot in cloudy, you know, clouds or stuff like that to avoid high contrast. That's always the killer. Is, you know, we talked, you know, the last couple of weeks about latitude and dynamic range and something else. Contrast? Did we talk about contrast?
No, not really.
Oh. Okay.
Should we go back?
No. we'll deal with contrast on its own. Okay. But what we did when we dealt with, like, with dynamic range, we talked about basically avoiding situations where we have, you know, dark darks with bright brights. But sometimes we want to do that. We want to include lots of shadows for that reason.
To be fair, you might have talked about it last episode. I wasn't really paying attention, so.
Fair enough.
Maybe you did talk about contrast, so I should. Someone's going to say, "No, you absolutely talked about it." And then, for sure, I'm going to get that pie in the face.
Now that we have our comments open on the episodes themselves,
that's right.
So, I put a note here, and the only note is shadows are important to a photo.
Okay.
That's a grand statement. Yeah, I want you. That's bold, eh?
Yeah.
That's a way to take a stand, Alan. At no point is someone saying, "I disagree." They have no place. But why are they important? Do you have any thoughts on the matter?
I think sometimes they can lend depth to a photo for sure. Mm-hmm. Like I think you used shadows in the photo you took of your dad that definitely adds something to a photo. Sometimes a shadow, like I'm always thinking about how to keep the shadows off of people's faces as much as I can, especially when it's, you know, get to the raccoon eyes effect, or, you know, you lose the color of someone's eyes because the sun's overhead and it casts a shadow right over the center of their eyes. I don't like that. But in cases of trees, or in the case of your photo, the posts, the shadows can certainly add something to the photo. And a lot of times that's just depth.
That's right. That's right. It's also, I mean, for me, one of the things I like is that shadows can add like a visual clue to a photo.
Okay. Give me an example of that.
Well, if you have very short shadows, you have an idea that, like, we're talking about in available light photography.
Okay, yeah.
Very short shadows, likely, you know, shot in the middle of the day.
Yeah, the overhead ones.
Exactly. If we have long shadows, now the opposite is true. It's either very early in the morning or very, you know, late in the evening, which is when I recommend shooting anyways. And that's when I like to shoot shadows.
Yes.
So in that regard, that's kind of, to me, where they are very important. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and plus it makes you sound smart when you're talking to your friend or your wife who might not know as much about photography, and you can, you know, seem like Sherlock Holmes and say, I know that this photo was taken at probably approximately 1 hour before sunset. And they say, wow, how do you know that? And then you can clue them in on the shadows.
That's right.
And then tell them you're better than they are for knowing that.
That's all we're trying to get you to do. Try to separate yourself by being a snob.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's how all the greats do. That's how Annie Leibovitz does, apparently. Also, she's very good at it.
Yes.
Taking pictures. So there's that too. Yeah, so I think your eye, I'm not a psychologist, but I think your eye is attuned to these details and it's sort of important to them. And so for me, creating a photograph is kind of like creating a feeling and conveying the feeling of what it was like to be in a certain situation. And if I can use a visual clue like that to sort of enhance that, to make people, you know, remember, you know, because you feel differently at noon than you do at, say, 9 p.m. on a summer day.
I do.
I assume you do. I assume you associate different things.
I'm tired by 9 p.m. on a summer day. My kids have run me down.
There you go. So that's you see long shadows and you immediately get tired.
Yes.
So, but whatever the association is, there is that association. Your mind fills in those blanks. So that's important. Another thing is that they can create separation. You can use shadows to create separation between different sort of zones of a photo, different areas, and basically cause the, you know, create the focus of the viewer's focus to go to a certain place based on how you position the shadows. If it's all just a flat light, that you know, there's other ways to do it. So if, you know, you're not out of luck if it's flat light, but this is just one way. So now you said you had your long project is interesting light.
Yes.
Is there a chance that a lot of that is interesting shadows?
I think sometimes, like, I'm definitely going to include the photo challenge from this week as interesting light. But yeah, actually, when I look at most of the pictures I did included in there, a lot of times it's about the shadows. Sometimes it's about glare. Sometimes it's about, you know, light hitting a surface and having some sort of glare or flare. And so I find that interesting light. But definitely shadows is a big component of what I find interesting.
So what kind of shadows would we like?
I like stuff that is different than, again, what interests me is when you have a photo that looks different than most of your other photos. So I had one picture that I took of my wife when I first got the background stand. So I was using the white paper and I just had her sitting down in front of the paper and I was just fiddling around for different effects. And I came across a situation that I very much like what I shot in the challenge, where I had the ISO really low. So like 100, and I had one light that was kind of very dark room, and I just bounced that light and it just, again, just basically lights up one small part of her, but everything else is in black. So you get her kind of outline. You know it's her, but it's mostly dark instead of the typical photo that would almost be the reverse, would be mostly light.
Right. There you go. So you did it by accident.
By accident.
So there's different kinds of shadows. I mean, not a wide variety, but basically sort of like we talk about contrast. You can have really, really dark, high contrast shadows, or you can have low contrast or anywhere in between. So what's going to give us a, like, let's say you're out in, you know, walking around the city and you just want to take some available light shots. What's going to give you a sort of a low contrast shadow?
A low contrast shadow, I guess if it's overcast. So mm-hmm. if it's not as bright, I think the brighter and the sunshine, then likely the harsher the shadow, or the darker the shadow if we're talking about contrast.
That's right on. It's the harder the light is going to give you obviously a much broader contrast, which I think I'm just repeating what you just said. How about just say that, yeah, you're correct.
Correct.
Low contrast shadows are caused by like dispersed light, soft light. So clouds are a great way to do that. On a completely overcast day, you're likely going to get no shadows.
Right, yeah.
That's when you get that flat light, and now you have to use other visual cues to separate your subject and create the image you want. On a slightly overcast day, you're going to get a little like some soft directional light. And so that's something that I look for.
Which is a bonus.
Which is an absolute bonus. That's free bonus right there. That's the easiest time to shoot. Because I'd like to have a little bit of shadow. Like on someone's face, you know, when we talk about where to put the key light, we don't like to have it on the camera because that just flattens everything out and there's no shadow on the face. We want a nice kind of sort of soft shadow that gives us some depth. Okay? Plus hard sunlight, like sometimes that's great. You want to shoot in the hard sunlight. Maybe you want all your shadows to go completely black. But it's difficult for the camera to handle. So that's the situation where we're going to use the flash or bounce to sort of compensate for those difficult shadows. We talked about a couple episodes before about managing our latitude. It doesn't necessarily need to be just for our subject. It could be for shooting a building. We could use a flash to fill in some of the shadows there.
Okay.
So, the further...
And can you do that with one flash when you're talking about a building?
It depends. It depends how big your area is. You can. I'm trying to think of a real-world example, but that's very difficult to do. You'd be surprised how much power your flash can pack. And how much you need to see in the dark. Like you don't need a lot of light to lift those shadows. Because you're not talking about lifting those shadows from completely black all the way up to properly exposed.
Right.
Oftentimes you're talking about lifting those shadows just a couple percentage points. Just to bring it into the range of, okay, now we can see some detail in those shadows. So...
Okay.
Yeah. The answer is yes. Your flash can do that.
Sure. I'm okay with just yes.
So ultimately, the further a light source is from a subject, the harder the light.
The sun's really far away.
The sun is very far away. And that's what's going to help create darker shadows. Closer light is soft and thus lighter shadows.
Okay.
Okay. A large source... is actually soft, believe it or not.
Yes.
You should believe it. That's all we talk about, getting your flash to be bigger.
Yeah.
But a larger source is inherently going to be softer than a smaller source. And so that will provide, again, that will be less shadow and it'll not quite as dark.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. And lastly, softer light means softer edges on the shadows.
Right, so, like we said with the overcast day.
Exactly. So it's like for instance in your picture that you took, the love picture.
Yeah.
you can see the sharp, I'm bringing it up right now. You see the sharp edge around the letters. See at the bottom of the letters how it's like a sharp shadow?
Yep.
And then on the, as light falls off, like on the heads of the two people, you can see a little softer edge around there.
Definitely. Yeah.
Right. So that's something to keep in mind when you're shooting your shadows, is what kind of shadows do you want? Do you want those hard edges or do you want soft? There's no real answer. It just depends what you want, but you want to be aware of how you're doing that. So what I look for when I want to shoot, you know, available light stuff is I shoot, like earlier I said, I shoot late in the day. So the time of day helps determine what angle the shadows will fall. Like,
right.
Like if you want to include them on a wall or on a street or something like that. I like to make sure each image is exactly 31% shadow.
You're kidding?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm glad you got that. I was worried.
Yeah.
Worried that you wouldn't be paying attention.
No, I'm still paying attention, which is a record for me.
We often think of shadows in terms of technical data and not creative. Like it's sort of like, oh, well, this, you know, we have to bring up this shadow two stops or you know, where does this fall, you know, in our exposure. Whereas sometimes we want to look around and just shoot shadows, look for things that are going to look good, are going to create interesting patterns or whatever it is.
Okay.
And so that means there's no rhyme or reason to how much, what percentage of shadow you should actually have.
Just go with what makes you happy.
Right.
That's what my wife tells me.
Now let's say we want to create shadows.
Okay.
Okay. How do we go about that using our speed lights?
Well, I guess it depends on what kind of effect you want. Like in the case of the challenge picture that I was doing, where exactly that, we're trying to create shadows. If I kind of like the effect of the sun, if I position the flash at a lower angle to the letters on the love letters, then it creates a much longer shadow, just the same effect as when the sun is lower in the sky. And if I come up at a higher angle, then obviously the shadows get shorter. So you first kind of got to think of, okay, what kind of shadow do you want? And that was with a hard light. So like you spoke about, if I want to create a softer shadow, like a portrait, where I don't want that hard, dark shadow on someone's face, then I'd obviously move closer and use something like an umbrella to soften the light.
Right. I always think about shadow when I light a scene, where they're going to go and what kind of shadows and I want to do, or if I want to avoid them, it always comes up.
Yeah.
So, and in this case, that's why I chose this challenge, and man, did you ever rise to it? Because that's exactly, it sounds like you put a lot of forethought into it. Okay. Here's the shadows I want. How do I create that?
That's it. I did it. I don't do, I'm going to pump my tires and say I did it this week. I don't do it every week. There's a little bit of a surprise to our listeners who may have seen all the photo challenges. I mean, most of the time I'm spot on with awesomeness, but not always. So this time I really did. I put the thought in. I really wanted to hammer this home after I kind of gave you a bit of a hard time with the photo challenge last week. I knew if I didn't rise that you were going to kind of have a heyday on me. So that's part of it. Trying to avoid embarrassment, on-air embarrassment.
Great.
Yeah.
So one of the ways I manage my flash is what we talked about in the challenge part, is zooming the flash.
Right.
Okay. Now, so without going into deep, just listen back to that. But the point is that's a very important tool in how to best use your flash.
Yes. And then and that goes along with the whole flagging your flash to even zoom it further.
Yes. Absolutely. Zooming the flash in and moving it back will give you crisp edges, dark shadows. That's just how it goes.
And another tip that I read on someone else's photography blog, I think it was Neil Van Niekerk who talked about the black foamy thing. But he has a blog and he said, and it makes perfect sense, is that if you're going to flag your flash with the foamy, you might as well zoom the flash in, because you're wasting it to have like a, like have it basically like a 24 millimeter flash, which is going to spread the light out, and you're wasting a lot of that intensity when ultimately and just battery power to set it like that, and only to then narrow the beam anyways with the black foam.
That's a great tip.
So save your battery and narrow the beam, the narrowest beam you're saying, like on the flash that we're using in this case was the SB28 was 85 millimeters. Is that what you said?
Yep. Yeah. The newer flashes go further.
Yeah. So zoom it in basically is what we're saying. If your plan is to then flag it with like the black foam, because you're going to save some battery power.
Blam. That's the takeaway. I got a whole bunch more stuff to ramble on about, but I want to end on that. That's just a great takeaway.
All right.
The point is, be conscious of your shadows.
Yes.
Go out there, look for them, manage them, shoot them. I often walk, like I like walking around the old parts of Europe at certain times of the day and shooting, and including shadows in my shots, because it really, really adds pop to them. That's all I'm saying.
And I challenge anybody out there who's new to off-camera flash to try the simple one flash setup that I did, and to see if they can get something that they're happy with, and then you know either email it to the two hosers or post it on Flickr. Do we have the Flickr link still on the new website, or is it different?
It will be up. It's okay. Not up yet. I'm still working out some of the kinks.
But even just email it to us, because I mean, I think it's a very, very simple setup. So if you go check out the setup picture, see how easy it is, and just try to replicate something that's interesting in the way of if you've got some of these letters, or if you've got something else interesting that you want to cast a shadow with that's kind of a small statue or something, you'll see this only takes a couple of minutes, and I think you'll be pretty happy with the effect. I mean, I was so pleased with myself, I was telling my wife that I'm going to frame it. I don't know if I actually will, but again, I'm just trying to convey the adulation I had for myself.
The self-adulation. Yeah. Just quick note to anybody who is going to email, shrink the pictures down.
Right.
Don't send the full res ones to Adam's home account, which I'll post. I'll post it on the wall at my dad's house. So you can just go by. One-stop shopping.
Right.
Yeah. What's a cookie or what's a gobo?
A cookie or a go? Are they the same thing?
Well, in my head, they are.
Okay, well, it's I think.
Don't answer that, really. I was just joking. That's a lead-in.
I don't know. You don't. I can't answer it.
Don't answer it.
I know what the answer is.
Yeah, I know. Okay. That's what we call a teaser for the future.
Okay. Sorry. Okay.
Just let us know. Does it have anything to do with shadows?
Yes.
Oh, segue. Do you know what? You know what? Speaking of segue, as we segue into the very end of the show here,
right?
Try this at parties. Anytime you want to change the subject, just yell out, "Oh, segue!" Like for instance, when somebody's talking about themselves and you want to change the subject to you,
right?
And how awesome your shadow picture was,
right?
Just say, you know, brain surgery, saved four orphans. Segue. I took an awesome picture.
I'm going to try that.
That's the life of the party, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. Do you have a challenge for next week?
No. Do you have one?
No, I don't.
Uh-oh. Let's just take a week off. We don't need a challenge.
Just shut her down. Here's a challenge. Just enjoy life.
Yeah. Pick a color. We haven't done any of those. That's always a simple one. I see that one kind of done all over the place. Pick a color.
I would, but your lack of the way this came about really doesn't inspire confidence.
No, pick a color.
Pick a color, I guess. I don't know.
I had one before last week, but now I forget. So does that count?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, how about reflection?
Oh, that's awesome.
We haven't done that, have we?
No. And I was actually going to suggest that for next week, but I forgot. I forgot about that. I can't believe you thought of... Adam, you not only take good pictures of love things, whatever that you want to call that, you also save the day.
All right. Reflection.
Reflection. And that could mean many things. I'm not going to tell you what it means, but there you go.
Okay.
Anything to add?
No. Where can people find my stuff?
Oh, all about that. Sure, of course. Where can people find your stuff?
SchwartzChronicles.com. There will be a daddy post about how great I am as a dad, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And modest, too. I think that's the key.
Yeah. Modest and awesome, all rolled into one.
Great.
What about yourself?
You can find it at alanetridge.com, or you can find both of us at twohosers.com, the new and improved.
New and improved.
And now working, twohosers.com, where you can find, you can't find all the links to Twitter and Google Plus there yet. I'm working on it. I'm busy. I got things to do. So some of the links are just a little bit empty, but it will be built up soon, I promise.
All right. I can't wait.
Also, look, check out Tips from the Top Floor. I did an episode last night with Chris Marquardt about film and whatnot. So,
great.
I'm sure that will be out by the time you're hearing this.
Excellent. Well, you're out there pounding the pavement for the two hosers.
We're doing it. So there you go. That's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.